Ramona.
Chair Winters and Senator Hartzell, we started the system of care in the mid-90s, I think around 1995. System of care was the result of the Juvenile Rights Project, where there was some pending litigation against the State Office for Service to Children and Families. And we reached an agreement as opposed to tying up the amount of time and dollars it would take to go into court and litigate. And it is designed to improve the quality of care of children who become known to the child welfare system. I believe we are beginning to see some results. It takes a long time, you know, to have a reform effort actually take hold. But from the counties who are actually working with system of care, they are very pleased with the quality of some of the decisions being made on cases. As you heard from public testimony, many foster parents came in and talked about the quality of care that many of our children demand because of special needs, and this is accommodated by system of care. And today we will also leave with you the status of children in Oregon's child protection system, our 2000 report, which you may have seen in the newspaper for the first time. We have a reduction in victims of abuse and neglect in Oregon for the year 2000, and that's the first time since 1994. So we are, as we said to the media, cautiously optimistic that some things that Oregon has been working on for several years are actually beginning to take hold now. Safety nets, for example, is another example of front-end services to our families. So I think what you heard from the testimony is that while we are going to continue working this next 2 years to even tie the system of care dollars closer to our performance outcomes, I think you would be hard-pressed to find anyone who says system of care has not been very much to the advantage of children known to the child welfare system.
Follow-up, Madam Chair?
Follow-up.
Tell me what kind of oversight you have or how you, what your evaluation process is. You've had 5 years, 4 years now. There should be some real evidence or accountability on how it's working.
The evaluation is contracted with Portland State University, so we do have an objective evaluation that produces quarterly reports. That feedback goes into how we improve our training for our staff and also how we improve our policies. We have an individual, Beth Boggan, who is the designated system of care person on our staff who works closely with the Juvenile Rights Project. And we are consistently evaluating and making sure that what we're learning from the projects and what counties are experiencing in the use of these dollars is fed back into improvements for the entire system, not just case-by-case improvements.
Final follow-up.
Follow-up.
What I've heard you say sounds very good. Will any of that be changed with reorg, or is this separate from and moving along?
It can be impacted by reorganization, as anything can be. On the other hand, though, service integration is part of strengthening families, and strengthening families is the philosophy behind system of care. So to the extent that we can make this a positive reflection in system of care, our agreement with the Juvenile Rights Project does not go away simply because of reorganization. So we will still be staying true to the requirements of the Juvenile Rights Project and our agreement with them.
Thank you.
Senator Shields.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I had any role in this committee, it's somewhat to bring some history to it in terms of sitting on this committee for the last five sessions. And one of the problems that I always had with system of care is that it is an approach where you define what it is by what it does. Okay, I mean, if you look at page 86, the definition of it, it balances safety and attachment, it promotes family decision. It doesn't say what it is. Describing it by its very essence is to describe it in terms of what it does. Okay, and so when I heard Senator Hartung and Senator Duncan both express some questions about it, I think that's where it comes from, because that's historically always been the way it is. And so sometime it might be a great experiment to define it in terms of what it is, not what it does. I know that's difficult, but I just want to make a suggestion. And in that regard, my question is, down at bullet four, you talk about flexible dollars on page 86. You say the expenditure of flexible dollars enhances a caseworker's ability to meet child's needs in non-traditional ways. Will the limitation of these flexible dollars affect the overall ability of the system of care to do what we want it to do? Because we heard some compelling testimony about the fact that you actually save money by having some money available in flexible dollars to meet some critical needs.
Chair Winters and Senator Shields, I think it would appear that the loss of flexible dollars could impact the individual creativity of a worker to use those dollars if they're limited dollars. On the other hand, we have learned more and more, I think, each year about some of the creativity being balanced with accountability. We know some of the things that work, some of the things that are more successful. For example, family decision meetings have been rated as very successful in getting families involved early on and shortening the time the child needs to be in foster care. So I think it's incumbent upon us in the face of any budget cuts to make use of what the things are that we really do know. We really do have some evidence about, make sure that workers are using those kinds of methods as they impact families versus those methods that haven't been shown to be quite as fruitful in terms of the outcomes of the results.
Madam Chair.
Representative Carlson.
I had the opportunity to attend the statewide foster parent conference down in Eugene several weeks ago and heard loud and clear from the foster parents how critical these dollars are to them in the efforts that they make for children. And I know from my short experience being a foster parent myself, the necessity of having some flexible dollars so that you can do things that make sense rather than doing things just because the funding stream from the federal government says you can use it for these purposes and not any others. So it's just an essential piece of a system for kids.
If you return to 90A, it gives you some ranking order of how the expenditure categories of systems of care and in your book. And it ranges everything from therapeutic support.
90A.
And it gives you, some breakdown of what funds are needed, are used for.
9-8.
Yeah. Sure. Representative Schrader.
I think we've agreed that that's the top priority for this particular budget, but there will come a time, I suspect, where we will have to prioritize all our different add-backs, if you will, within the department itself. That would be important, I think, because in all fairness, we can't do everything, and that's the real world, and just urge everyone to do that a little bit.
Yes. Excellent comment, because that is accurate. And I'd like to move on and see if we can get some consensus on the flex funds that we recommend a range to the co-chair from the 2.1 million to 9.8.
Okay, so moving.
Representative Schrader moved that we recommend to the co-chairs for the systems of care a range of 2.1 million to 9.8. Any objections?
2.1 million to
9.8.
Yeah, and then we're adding the other piece. Right.
And Madam Chair, I just want to get on the record my strong support for the 9.8 end of that recommendation.
I will so note your strong support, and I would just echo Representative Schrader's comments that we have a long way to go, and I would also encourage members to look at, as we're looking at add backs, to also in good budget work, you look at both sides of the equation. So, I mean, it's more than just looking at what we're adding on, but looking at, I know my good friend over here has been doing excellent work in helping us to balance these budgets and working with LFO. So there's two parts to this equation as we go through this process. And I think probably of all the budgets we probably have, we'll probably have the most requests, I'm sure, for ag backs in this building, because we're very passionate about the people that we serve, and just to get that on record. So,
Madam Chair,
Senator Duncan.
I can't recall, is there some place where there is a good explanation of all these other, the original cuts? I Someplace that I've, and I may have it back up in my office, but
Madam
people, but I've kind of lost track of what some of these are.
Madam Chair and Senator Duncan, if I can refer you under the tab Detailed Programs and Services, the excellent LFO printed analysis of the governor's budget.
I have that.
It should be under your tab that says Detailed Programs and Services.
What tab number is it?
Number one. The presentation document, it would be the first tab.
Okay.
Number one.
Yeah, I knew you would have one.
In there, and it's on page 82.
Now why don't I have it?
And if not, I will share mine.
Yep. What do we do with mine, though?
Is there further discussion on flex funds? Senator Duncan?
I move.
You move. Representative Schrader already moved.
Well, then what do you want me to do?
Well, you could ask a question in the end. I knew that roasted pig got to you last night.
Oh, I'm okay.
Okay. If there's no objection, the motion passed and so ordered.
The money is for both sides, Madam.
Yes. Well, that's correct. We've had some students who just joined us. Are they from here?
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Representative Schrader.
I'd like to take the opportunity to introduce bunch of students from Canby, from Ackerman Middle School here, that are here with their teacher, Jenny Jones, to observe our august and very staid proceedings, and I appreciate them coming on down. They just missed a very entertaining discussion. It's too bad you're a few minutes late. Thanks for coming on down.
Welcome, and we hope that you have an enjoyable stay here and in your observation of your legislature at work. Just to say to you, this is your legislature, this august group, both the chronological group on my right and the...
Some of these guys are getting a little old, so they're going to be getting replacements now.
But do, and I'm sure we'll see you this afternoon when we go on the floor. Hopefully you will be in the galleys to hear the debate on the floor.
Madam Chair.
Senator Duncan.
I hope you'll come over to the Senate and see where the real work is done, too.
Okay. Next item on our request for our ad back. The cost of living adjustment I had requested, and I asked Sheila how much was that, and it's $4.3
million.
Representative,
Chair, I've got a question because it's my sense that this sort of overlaps the other divisions as well in many cases. Oh. So we have alcohol and drug and mental health, COLAs, and then SCS, and even perhaps OYA involved in the mix. So how are we going to, is this trying to sort out the SCS portion, or how does that work?
The $4.3 million, Madam Chair, Representative Carlson, the $4.3 million would just be for the SCS reductions. It is the case that many of the divisions and programs in the Department of Human Services took cost of living adjustment reductions. So you won't see it in all of the programs, but in many of them they are there.
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Carlson.
But my suggestion is that some of the providers actually serve one person that gets little bits of money from all these, and it's the same person. Is that a correct assumption?
Madam Chair, Representative Carlson, yes, some of these programs would... Not so much, although within mental health and SCS, there may be some providers that serve both client groups. Also, there would be providers that serve both SCF clients and OYA mm-hmm. clients potentially, so it is a cross-agency issue mm-hmm. or a mm-hmm. provider issue serving more than one division or department's clients.
So then, Madam Chair, because this we're going to be recommending in our back packages, the COLA increase for all?
We're just going through now.
I understand we're just doing this one. I'm just trying to visualize ahead what some of the thinking is that it's going to be coming back for all care workers, right?
The COLA, deals with the programs or the providers out in the community, and in the budget process, the those cost of living adjustments were reduced.
Right. And this is the add back to.
And these are the add back issues that came up during our discussion in our when we had our testimony and our overview, whether or not we want to delay any discussion on the COLAs and deal with it as one entity for all DHS, we could do that, or whether or not we want to address that issue today.
I think Representative, Madam Chair, I think Representative Carlson brings up a good point, so we could get the big picture. I mean, I'm supportive of the COLA, but I guess I'd like to see the big picture and who's included and if anyone is left out of that particular.
What I would request then from LFO and the agency is to give us a list of those COLA reductions by agency and what programs are affected by the COLA.
That would be extremely helpful, I think.
Representative
Schrader.
Yes.
In the lateness of the hour, I guess I'd like to cut to the chase a little bit here. In light of my previous comment, I think that if we go with the range that we had on the system of care flexible funding cuts, that it's a little difficult for me to argue in favor of restoring all these others when we have a lot of other budgets are coming down the pike. And so I guess I'd suggest that we go with what we put in already, and if something dramatic happens, I'm certainly open to whatever Senator Duncan would be.
Senator Duncan.
Well, a quick question. You have the Eliminate Grants Pass Coalition. Then I heard you mention Father Taft. I don't understand what the Grants Pass, that doesn't.
Can I explain that with the elimination funds for non-state programs, those are all lumped into one category.
And so they're all under this grants pass.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the Father Taft, it was $34,000, I know.
Madam Chair, Senator Duncan, in our analysis, we lumped it in because the policy decision is in this budget. The governor chose not to fund programs that were not statewide in nature. And so overall, it was a reduction of
$700,000.
Almost $700,000. That included the Father's Half Program, the Grants Path Coalition, Multnomah County Mental Health Partners, and I think a couple other programs. And we can get to that detailed list.
Okay. I guess before we lost,
Representative Schrader has a motion, and then I'll get back to you.
Oh, okay.
Just to see if I can, I think Senator brings up a good point that although it was the governor's desire to prioritize statewide programs, and maybe some special non-statewide programs we want to give some deference to, and maybe we should set aside at least, say, $100,000 and add back priority to see if we can't restore at least a few of those.
That's my concern.
Okay. That'd be okay.
Is that fine with you, Senator Duncan?
That'd be fine. Okay. As long as they get the one I want in there within that
$100,000.
I'm fair.
So currently on our add-back list, we have the Systems of Care Flex Funds from a range of $2.1 million to $9.8, and then the $100,000 for a non-statewide program. Is that correct?
Good.
And for any other discussion?
And we're deferring the COLA discussion.
Yeah. Right. We're deferring that till really in the end, see what the big picture is.
Quick question, too. Eliminate Friends of the Children funding. Now, is that?
Madam Chair, Senator Duncan, that is one of the other non-state.
That's one of the other. Okay. That's one.
Any? Would you restate your motion now, please?
Madam Chair, I guess I'd like to suggest that the priority add backs for the subcommittee and the SCF budget would be restoring system of care dollars from range $2.1 to $9.8 million and set aside second priority would be $100,000 set aside for non-statewide programs to be determined before the end of session and have a COLA discussion incorporating all the DHS divisions and make some decisions there also.
Representative Schrader moves that our ad back discussion is, our suggestion is $2.1 million to $9.8 for System of Care Flex funds, and that the we include $100,000 for non-statewide programs, and that we have the further discussion on the COLA that includes all of the COLA and not just this one. Did I state it correctly? Any further discussion of that? Yes. Cost of living.
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, generally for contracted providers, it would be 3.5% for the biennium. That's an average, depending on how is applied. It may be applied annually, but it averages out to 3.5%.
But for agencies, it's 2.5%.
For agency expenditures, SNS expenditures, it's 2.5%.
Senator?
I would like to have Ramona nod her head one way or the other. Is this the way she would do it? I'm just curious to see if we're I think the record should note that she nodded her head. Yes.
We will not say which way. Is there any objections? Hearing none, it's approved and so ordered. I would ask for those of you who have not given me your list of issues and concerns, and if you have any requests for budget notes, that you do that, so that as we move forward, we can have some of this information ahead of time. It makes it a lot easier for LFO and others. I mean, we're doing very good in getting our budgets out, and I want to thank you for all your hard work. It's just beginning. And I will see you tomorrow. We are adjourned until in the morning.